Recording Taiwan special episode 3 for the week. What was I supposed to talk about? I was gonna say, looking at China's reaction to all this stuff that's happening, they don't know how bad they smell. Their long neglected shame culture runs so deep that they mentally cannot be honest with themselves about how much others dislike them. They would have a breakdown if they came to face that reality. Okay, Taiwan. And another thing that I talked about, you know, Taiwan's government is very chaotic. And this past week, I got to see what's happening with this new power party in Taiwan. Taiwan was beaten down by Chiang Kai-shek. He brought his soldiers who couldn't read, who couldn't count, and he made them teachers in school. Math, Chinese teachers, it'd be like an English teacher in America. Chinese teacher. I mean, he made them teachers in school when they didn't know anything because he gave his soldiers jobs. He made it illegal to sell salt without a license because he wanted to control commerce. Just for the sake of control. There's nothing wrong with salt. Salt is in abundance because the ocean's right there. They have these things, that these flats where the water comes in, they trap the water, let it dry in the sun when the tide goes out, sweep up all the salt and sell it. And they do this. It's a big business in Taiwan. Also with sugarcane, which is done similarly. They press the cane and it looks like two millstones, and it squeezes the juice out of the cane and the fiber comes out the end, and then they let that dry and it makes sugar. So they've got these crystallizing flats for salt and sugar, and Chiang Kai-shek wouldn't let him sell salt without a license because he wanted to control the society. And Chiang Kai-shek never organized a good government in Taiwan because he was always hoping to go back to China and retake the mainland from the communists, and he just never got around to it. So that, you know, it was his cronies that were putting government positions. They put their children in the positions, and they put their children in positions. So the people with the government jobs are the grandchildren of the Chiang Kai-shek cronies, and they really believe they're better than everybody else. And they do a terrible job. They misspelled my name on my application. What they've done to me with my application of being here, they do to all Taiwanese. It's incompetent. It doesn't make any sense. And the people are fed up with it. And the new power party in Taiwan is angry, but they're not sure why. And I've told the State Department what's going on. I've told them that I'm moving and shaking quietly behind the scenes. I invited the State Department to talk to certain people and verify it. And the State Department said, well, you're just trying to get a visa in some other country. That's your business. And they didn't say it that way, but that's kind of what the policy is. The person I talked to was very friendly, understanding, and fast and ingenious, and I hope he has a good career. I don't have a problem with him. I hope he gets less self-absorbed as he grows up, as all of us do when we grow up, but he really is awesome, and I would recommend him if you're out there. I don't even know his name. But the State Department pretty much didn't want to know what I was doing. Well, guess, you know, they told me, go solve this yourself. Well, I'm solving it myself. I'm talking to politicians in Taiwan, and I'm telling them how to solve their mess that Chiang Kai-shek made. And it's going to market, and it's going to make money. And as I said in the podcast, if someone just started a company in Taiwan and founded it on Western work values, you know, respect in the workplace, the boss doesn't get 10,000 times the money as the employees. Your supervisor doesn't make $100,000 a year and you make $100 a month. You know, you don't have that difference in pay. You've got evil CEOs at the top of these large corporations, maybe. But for the most part, you know, the difference between the pay of the boss and the supervisor shouldn't be that much. You think that the boss gets paid more than the employees in the company you work at? Wait till you see what goes on in Taiwan. I mean, a guy got $600 for a wedding and did none of the work and paid my buddy, Taiwanese in dual citizenship somewhere else, paid him only $15 to do all the work. And it was like 20 hours of work. They do this in Taiwan. It's an oppressive culture and they do it in the government. And if someone just had good Western work values, they'd steal all the employees from the other companies. And the other companies wouldn't be able to compete just by being decent, by being a decent person, being a decent boss. So that's going on in the country. And I'm telling the politicians here how to do that in government, how to be orderly and lawful so that they can clean up the mess that it's created for me. And I hope the State Department doesn't object. I told them, I don't think that they would. I'm not pretending to negotiate on behalf of the U.S. government, so there can't be a problem with that. But, you know, Taiwan has lied about me and misprocessed stuff in their lazy, self-entitled offices. And there's a lot of good people in Taiwan. We need Taiwan. I love Taiwan. I support this government of Taiwan, but they've got a lot of bad work ethic that needs to be cleaned up. And my theory on this is that Taiwan, in its lazy government that works this way, why am I complaining about this? Why are you whining, Jesse? I think that as Taiwan's government hasn't been careful in giving justice to the Westerners that visit, whether for school or as tourists, when they haven't been careful, what's wound up happening is people come here and they see some things are chaotic, some things are annoying and don't make sense, but the people are just adorable. They're just wonderful, amazing, friendly, happy, hospitable people. Some of the kindest people you'll ever meet. And they go home and it's a yay boo. Now, Westerners go to Hong Kong. Oh my goodness, the MTR is one of the most efficient railways in the world, Asia's world city, and the Airport Express is quite slick and quick going from the airport to Hong Kong Island. And you know, it's this clean, smooth operating place. They've got garbage cans and cigarette receptacles like every 10 feet on the sidewalks. It's clean, it's international, it's friendly. And people go to Hong Kong and they come home singing praises about how organized and wonderful it is. They don't do that about Taiwan. They love the people, but they're irritated with the government. And Hong Kong has been earning plus 10 points with every visitor. Taiwan's been earning maybe plus one or minus one instead of getting all kinds of favors. So when China attacks Taiwan, Taiwan's government isn't going to have made the friends in the West so that the Americans are going to want to rush in and save the buildings. They've had opportunity to make Americans and Westerners love them, but they chose to do a lazy job and they missed their chance. And so some of the Americans kind of know about them a little bit and think they're nice and cute and adorable, but there isn't this massive love to protect the buildings and infrastructure in Taiwan because the government workers just didn't do a good job. And the legislators also didn't do a good job with the laws. And the new power party is wise to this. And they're not sure what to do, but they're trying to figure out how to be organized in order to save their own country. I mean, being organized and making a good product and doing a good job and having quality work that people will go out and love you and tell their friends about you because of the good work you do, that's about safety and security. It's a national security issue to do a good job with your normal paperwork every day in whatever office you're in. Even between Japan and Korea, they've got to get along because they've got to have money and have solid companies to fund their militaries and to be strong societies so that we can stick together to stand up against, you know, evil countries like China, evil, selfish, childish countries like China. It's really amazing. Like, China's mental. And we've got to stand against them and be strong. And we do that by being competent and by doing good work. And they haven't been doing that in Taiwan. And I don't know how all this is going to go, but Taiwan could get destroyed. And, you know, I think America's going to go in and save them. I hope they do. I hope this stuff doesn't get destroyed. But I think that the government workers in Taiwan and the old school, old hat lawmakers in Taiwan are too busy with their corrupt deals and their laziness and their superiority and their self-importance that they're not doing a good job. They don't care to do a good job to keep their buildings intact. And maybe they think the threat isn't big enough, or maybe, you know, to understand Taiwan's government, it's like, you know that governor, the governor mayor guy in the city of Dale in The Hobbit? it's like that's what's run in Taiwan. And this new power party is sick of it. They'll welcome the dwarves, but if you've got the black arrow to solve the problems, then you're an enemy of the crown. And it's like, what? And it's small town fiefdom politics over little petty things when a larger enemy is coming and we've got to stand up against them and build and move and go. And there is greatness from the past that's waiting for us if we stand up and do a good job. It's there, but the guys in charge are like that fat, nasty, disgusting, you know, little in his own eyes, rich and comfortable, king, governor, mayor guy in the city of Dale and the Hobbit. And that's what the Taiwanese are fighting against. And it's this new power party, and it is growing. These kids are using iPhone 4s because they don't have any money. They're poor, but they are motivated. They want desperately to save their country and their freedom, and they work night and day to tell other people as best they can to find new ways to express their ideas, to figure out and find out what they should do once they get in charge, and to figure out how they can get the money in order to get there. They are working night and day. And if people will work night and day to save their country when they don't have money, imagine how uncorruptible they'll be when they finally do. They will work and do the right thing because for them, it's not about the entitlement in the money. It's about trying to make a good difference. And that's what's going on with the new power party in Taiwan. And it's the new power party that U.S. Congress needs to be focusing on preparing to deal with, because they're going to be the future. A movement is starting. See you next week.